The conference is now being recorded.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the DS Smith Interim Management Statement conference call hosted by Miles Roberts. My name is Andrea, and I'll be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I'm now handing you over to Miles Roberts to begin today's conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning, everybody, and thank you very much for joining us on the call today. I'm Miles Roberts, the CEO of DS Smith, and I'm joined by Steve Dryden, our Group Finance Director. So this morning, we are pleased to release our Q3 IMS, and I'd like to take a few minutes to run through the highlights of that statement, after which Steve and I are very pleased to take your questions. Before getting into some detail, by way of outline, I'll say that we're encouraged by another very robust quarter for DS Smith. The corrugated packaging volume delivery is fully in line with our GDP plus 1% target, led by a robust performance in the legacy DS Smith business. The economic environment in Europe remains challenging, and the profit outlook on paper is tough, and our business model remains resilient, with DS Smith on track to deliver substantial year-on-year EPS growth. So in terms of trading and outlook for the group as a whole, we continue to see profit in line with expectations, a solid performance in packaging, and a strong delivery of the previously announced synergies from the acquisition of SCA Packaging. We really are very pleased with how the integration is proceeding. Our packaging business has continued to perform as we expected, despite the difficult European macroeconomic conditions, particularly in certain economic markets. Volume growth is in line with our GDP plus 1% medium-term target, and the legacy DS Smith business has outperformed this target, whilst the ex-SCA has been held back by our previously announced strategic decision to exit business that does not deliver attractive returns to our shareholders. The performance of paper continued to be poor, and we still remain cautious on the profit outlook for this division, with anticipated rising input costs and new capacity coming on stream later in the year. And some of the highlights from packaging. The integration continues to proceed well, and we're on track to deliver 100 million of annual cost savings and 130 million of cash savings earlier than we had previously expected. We remain on track to deliver 100 million of proceeds of surplus property and non-core businesses by the end of year three. And as part of that disposal program, the three previously announced remedy disposals, as required by the European competition authorities, have now completed on an exit multiple of 7.7 times, raising 55 million euros. If you remember, we bought the SCA business on a multiple of 6 times. The timing of the completion of the remedy disposal will reduce EBITA by 2 million in the current year and about 5 million in 2013-14, as I said, at the EBITA level. The business continues to generate strong cash flow, and we expect the ratio of net debt to EBITDA to be below 2 times by the 30th of April 2013. And finally, with regard to the outlook, we continue to expect substantial year-on-year EPS growth and above cost of capital returns, and the board views the remainder of the year with confidence. Looking ahead to the new financial year, we expect the SCA packaging acquisition to deliver returns ahead of the original investment case, but we remain cautious on the outlook for our paper business, with the recently announced paper price increases only partially offsetting the higher input prices and the expected impact of additional capacity in the European paper market. This reaffirms our strategic decision to be short in paper, and we continue to evaluate our options to reduce this more volatile business with a view to further improving the group's overall return on capital. Our business model remains resilient. DS Smith is very well placed to create further substantial value for our investors. We're pleased with the continuing progress on the integration of SCA and faster delivery of synergy benefits, although we are cautious on the outlook for Europe and expect the difficult market conditions, which we've seen for some time now, to persist. We continue to focus on strengthening the business and our commercial proposition across a significantly enlarged geographic footprint, and look forward at how best to work and serve our customers. Steve and I are now very happy to take any questions you have, and I would remind you that our pre-close update is due in about 7 or 8 weeks now, on the 24th of April, and we'll give you a fuller update on the full year to April 13 then. Thank you. Operator, if you'd take over now for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask a question. The first question comes from the line of Justin Jordan from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm just trying to get a little bit more clarity on what you're talking about in terms of the announced paper price increases only partially offset by higher input costs and expected impact of additional capacity. I'm assuming you're referring to the kind of consensual sort of 60 euros a tonne that most producers seem to have certainly announced, if not fully implemented, for Testliner. And, can you just remind us your kind of short position in Testliner? As a proportion of overall production, as it were. And, you know, effectively what we're talking about is higher input costs for you and obviously a time lag in recovering that through higher, I guess, corrugated prices the other end. Is that what we're effectively talking about?
Yeah, I mean, what happens with paper is that it's the profitability is really a function of supply and demand, and it's therefore it's an industry issue, and paper can move around Europe and indeed across continents relatively easily. So we always feel we have very, very little pricing power in this business, and the returns on capital from this business are very poor. Therefore, traditionally, DS Smith has only made about 40 to 45% of the paper that the packaging needs, and that's why our return on capital is so much more consistent and higher than the industry norms. Now, what's happened recently is the profitability of paper has been so poor, there has been some cost-driven, not demand, but cost-driven in price rises, price announcements over the last year, of which very few have actually succeeded. At the moment, there is a current price increase, and indeed some of it is, at the moment, is sticking. But of course, you've got increasing raw material costs as well, increasing fibre and energy, etc. And the history of these price increases are, when new capacity comes on stream, it tends to undermine that. So yes, we can see increases have come through. That may raise the price of paper, but raw material costs are increasing. And all we're saying is we just remain very cautious on the outlook for profitability. If the price increases do stick and raw materials come off, then it may get better. But I'll be quite honest, I mean, we're still a very large producer, and we, until we see a sustained increase in pricing and profitability that's demand-led, we're certainly not calling that into our results, and we'll wait to see. It's just very, very early days.
Thank you. Can you just share with us what sort of pricing momentum, if any, you have in corrugated? Obviously, you know, we are fully aware of the raw material testimony price increase for you and how that affects your business, and equally what we're seeing in OCC. But in terms of the end customer or corrugated prices, are they flat? Or what's happening on those?
Yeah, I mean, we have we've done a lot of work in Dear Smith because of this our short paper position. It means that we have to be in a position where we can pass on, or either way, changes in raw material costs, and obviously a raw material for us is paper. So in the old Dear Smith business, we typically have about a 3-month lag between changes in input costs and a change in the price of the box. It's not in every contract, but that's the average that we have across the business. And indeed, over the last few years, we have routinely recovered increases, and we pass reductions back to our customers, because we're not trying to second guess the paper cycle, because we're shorting paper, and the reason we're short is because it doesn't produce its cost of capital. So with paper prices going up, you'll start to see, although there is a lag, you'll start to see our box prices going up. I think traditionally, if you look over the last few years, we've always recovered every penny within that time period. Now the challenge for us is converting the SCA business, which has been more like 6 months, down to 3 months, and that's in the contract period, and that's something that we are which we're well on with, and just changing customers over. I mean, one of the things we found actually was the customers were generally pretty okay with that. It wasn't a huge issue, because I think they can just see that there's no point in trying to second guess the paper cycle. But we do have more work to do on the SCA business, and I think that probably take, what do you say, Steve, another year to get that fully in place in terms of a contract period?
Yeah, well, it took DS Smith 18 months to get it down, so probably another year for SCA.
Yeah, something like that,
Thanks, Steve. Can I just, one follow-up question? Obviously, you are a major, I guess, euro revenue and profit generator at this point, and obviously just bearing in mind the movement we've seen in sterling euro in the last few weeks and months is pretty dramatic. Can you just remind us of the sensitivity of the business, and can you also just remind us of what hedging, if any, you have in place in terms of managing that sensitivity, or are we, should we fully reflect the changes in currency movements into modelling assumptions going forward?
Okay, Justin, Steve here. The previous guidance we gave still holds at a PBT level. 1 euro cent is £1 million of translation.
Thank you.
And on the hedge, we don't hedge translation.
Yeah.
And frankly, most of the goods and services that we supply, we tend to find that we are invoicing and receiving payments within that one currency. There's very few cross-border. There's some craft import that might be in dollars, and we'll hedge that forward, but predominantly we cover a limited amount of transactions, but we don't cover the translation side.
So it's really the translational impact we should think.
Yeah, that's right. But the contra I'd say about the movements in exchange rate, I do think some of them do reflect relative GDPs, and if GDP is a bit weaker, obviously our target for growth is GDP plus 1%.
Yep.
And in particular, in the last quarter, in terms of what we're reporting here, GDP across the markets that we operate in, weighted by the revenue of the markets, was minus 0.4%.
Yep. Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Kartik Swami Nathan from BOAML. Please go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. Kartik Swami Nathan from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. First question was whether you could provide us with a little bit of colour as to the other initiatives beyond the synergy programme that we've been hearing about in trade publications, and most significantly what you're doing on the UK recycling side. Secondly, if you could also very quickly do a quick run through of how trading is going across the continent with respect to your different geographic regions, please.
Yeah, I mean, if I just take the second question first, because it sort of impinges on the recycling. So different markets. What we've seen is overall GDP in the in Europe fell last year, and indeed the final quarter wasn't a great period for GDP growth. We've seen the UK pretty flat. France has always been flat, but there's no doubt that over the last 6 months the economy has just suffered from a bit of a lack of confidence, and that's pulled economic activity down slightly. There's the well publicised the reduction in Germany as well, and Italy and Spain remain difficult, and Eastern Europe moving forward. And current trading, it's again the UK main flat. I think France is difficult, Italy's difficult, Spain is, but Germany's certainly picking up, and Eastern Europe is reasonably, you know, maintains its strong momentum. So, you know, if I sort of characterise last year, it's sort of flat first half. This is calendar year, coming off a bit in the second half. Obviously, a few changes in government had an effect there. And at the moment, it's, and those economies perhaps slightly more positive, but generally, UK, France, Italy, not a lot of change from the second half of last year. And this is why the group, we just position ourselves so strongly in FMCG, and I have to say the overall business in volumes grew quite nicely. We continue to outperform our target of GDP plus 1%. It's SCA was slightly below the target, but we've been exiting business as we've announced. So overall, our volumes continued to grow despite the very difficult backdrop. And I think that's our real focus on the right segments in the market. That's customer segmentation and category segmentation. We're getting better at this all the time. And this is very much where we feel a lot of value can come from the SCA acquisition, enabling us to segment customer and categories much more finely, and put much greater emphasis and resource and capability behind those customers. And in fact, that's part of the reason why I continue to grow, because it's working, and you know, we can really see that in the legacy DS Smith business, and we can start to see it in the SCA packaging. But that is against a very uncertain economic outlook. I certainly don't expect Europe to be picking up in 2013. That's going to be pessimistic, but I can't see what's going to sort of trigger it, and we're just not seeing it. So we are cautious on the European economies for 2013. But it's quite interesting, you've mentioned about recycling, because, as you know, we focus very much on recycled packaging. We don't particularly want to sell craft papers. We feel that's not a long-term future for Europe, for the customer. And what we're finding is our ability to recycle with our recycling arm, working with our customers, the big retailers, working with our final customers. You can see people want to use more recycled. They don't want to use craft, and we're seeing a very nice rate of conversion from craft going into recycled now, and we think that this is going to continue for some time. New qualities of recycled, particularly in white tops, coming on, which is traditionally a strong point of craft. You know, we think that rate will of conversion will increase, and our recycling arm is a major part of that in making sure that Europe's able to capture its as much of a lost fibre as possible. In terms of the UK, our recycling business has done well and continues to. It works, as you know, with all the major retailers, with our own specialised vehicles. We then collect the refuse and we work with them as to how to use more corrugators, and we're pleased with that. Our challenge is to get the same UK model onto the continent. We're working on that. We know that our plans are always, it's going to take a little while. In Eastern Europe, it's coming along very nicely, good operations there. But still, we're looking to get into France and Italy. But our plans are well developed there, and we'll obviously update you as soon as we have something really major to announce. But it's challenging. But you know, we're very focused on getting a strong foothold there.
I think the news items that you've seen, Karthik, that you're referring to is we're effectively implementing our synergy plan. Part of our overall synergy plan is in recycling, and some of that's in the UK where we do have overlaps of depots. Mm-hmm. So we are removing that duplication, selling any surplus assets there.
Yep.
And also there's certain parts of the business we inherited that we don't feel the margins and the returns are attractive. So we are looking commercially to either improve those terms or we're not doing that work. And I think that's what you've seen in the press, Karthik.
Mm-hmm. And sorry, just to follow up very quickly, how do you see that feeding through into your overall target? Would that be a kind of marginal bonus on where you see trading conditions now and how that can support profitability, or is that too small to really factor?
No, sorry. When you look at our cost synergies, Karthik, they are broken out by country, by business, by manager. And in specifically, there is a section in there for recycling. And there's a section subset in there for recycling UK, and that's what's being implemented. So what you're seeing coming through in your news feeds is just us implementing on the synergy delivery plan.
Okay, understood.
The next question comes from the line of Barry Dixon from Davy. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. A couple of questions, please. Just in terms of the completion accounts, could you give us some colour in terms of how negotiations are going around that? And also, do you have a date when you expect that to be completed? And the second question is in terms of the new capacity that you've talked about coming on stream in containerboard. Does that refer to the Stora plant in Poland and the VPK plant, or is there other stuff that you're seeing? Thank you.
Well, on the completion accounts, I mean, the truth is there, it's all going according to the SPA, as we always expect. You know, there are some issues which we are in discussion about. By their size, these go through a very prescribed process, and we're going through that process fully as the SPA requires. And as soon as we have something, we'll come back and tell the market. But we haven't assumed any recovery, anything at all in our accounts or our announcements. But it's always going to take a little while because there's a pre-described process. And in terms of the capacity, Tessan, you have mentioned two mills where coming on stream in 2013, more capacity. As we know, we've got plenty of ready suppliers in the market, and indeed we hear rumours of further capacity, but they are only rumours that we're hearing. The only real firm announcements are the ones that you've just mentioned. I think those two, you've got 415 in the UK. I think you've got about another 700,000 tonnes coming on stream in Europe in 2013.
Yeah, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of David Phillips from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I covered a couple of the ones I was going to ask. I was just going to come back to revenue synergy, something we've talked about in the past, and previously you said let's wait until June, July. Is that still the time scale that you will go into more detail on revenues?
Oh yes, absolutely. I mean, we're going to hold an investor day in the first half of the new financial year. We've got to get a date out. It's going to be in the autumn, something like that. And we'll come back, because I think we really want to, it's not just a few vague things, we want to really give people a real sense of the segmentation and what we're going to be doing, etc. And we'll come back and outline a lot more of that. You know, but I would argue quite strongly you've seen us consistently grow volumes throughout the last few years, profitable volumes. You can see our margins and our return on capital. This isn't running around the market trying to buy volume. It's profitable growth. And so what we're doing, we feel, is sort of working, but we will be coming back in the autumn to talk a lot more about it.
Would you characterise the sort of top 30 customers through the sort of growth rates and volume that you're seeing there? Would you put a figure on that? Is it a high single digit?
Well, the last time we actually published a number in our top 20 customers, which was last financial year, I think we said our revenue growth there was 13% year on year, and the volume growth wasn't far behind that. That was the last figure we gave in legacy DS Smith business. I think the volume growth there was about 7% year on year. That's the last time we published the figure, which was on last year's results, Steve.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah, last year's results, yeah.
And
it's been very strong.
A similar level maintained, or?
Well, we've got the SCA business, and this is everything we say has to be audited, etc., and gone through and checked and where it is. So we are. That's one of the reasons we haven't been saying things. But it won't be at that same level because obviously we're sort of getting the SCA people on board with everything else we do. So the combined group will certainly be lower than that, but it is better than the group average, which is already ahead of GDP, etc. Yeah, great.
I mean, just small division for you, but plastics was growing quite nicely historically.
Yeah.
You've not mentioned it. Is that still sort of showing the same high levels of growth, or has there been a bit of a tail off in recent months?
Oh, no. Plastics we're very pleased with. The bag in box, we are we're the second largest in the world. We're behind a US privately owned business, and we're absolutely delighted with that. That continues to go very well, as it has done over the last few years. You open a new site, you've got more capacity coming on, and it ties in so nicely with the corrugated and driving the growth of the bag in box. That's what we're really about, and that's why we've got such a strong market share. And that continues to do very well.
Great, thank you. And just finally, just coming back to currency and the euro. I mean, at what point should I start thinking about the switch from the euro being an insulating factor to help forecast to something that can actually boost, maybe not 2013, but 2014 levels? I mean, you know, is it a case that another quarter of rates where they are, and we can be thinking about trying to factor through that 1 million per euro cent into forecast, or is it still a sort of insulating trend for now?
I think, as I said earlier, David, I think you've got to think of two things. You've got to think on just the exchange rate, but also what's happening on GDP and what's your growth assumptions. Because, as you know, our medium-term target is GDP plus one, and we've obviously achieved that in the last quarter in terms of this IMS. So I think you've got to think on those two. But, yeah, I think the exchange rate's taken a step down. I'd probably wait another quarter before you start to think about whether you're going to feed that through or not. But at the same time, consider as well GDP and hence our relative growth levels.
Sure. No, understood. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of David O'Brien from Goodbody. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. David O'Brien from Goodbody here. Just one question from me. You noted in the statement that you're going to evaluate the strategic options to reduce your paper exposure. I'm just wondering, is there any underlying assumption of paper disposals in your 100 million disposal targets that you outlined for synergies for SEA?
No, there is. There's no assumption there in the 100 million. That's purely the remedy disposal plus other surplus assets, property, etc. that we are currently disposing of. So that'll be the subject of a completely separate announcement. if and when we make that decision, and then obviously the disposal number is set to change, but there's nothing in there.
Okay, that's right. Thank you.
Is there one last question?
The last question comes from the line of Hector from Julian Wellington from JB Morgan. Please go ahead.
Morning, Miles. Morning, Steve. Two questions from me, if I may. Just firstly, you mentioned about the packaging growth in Europe being in line with GDP plus one. I just wondered if you could just talk about the trend in industrial packaging versus FMCG and how that's been going. And then secondly, on the businesses that you've been de-emphasizing in SEA, the ones you talk about, the lower margin ones, could you just touch on maybe what the tonnages are or what the sort of quantum of that is, and if possible, which geographies that they're in, please? Thank you.
When we took the business over, just some parts just haven't, don't, and we don't think we'll make the cost of capital, and we said it'd be up to 4% of turnover. That's what we said at the time of the acquisition, and that was in our statement there, and nothing's changed from that. Now, sometimes these have slightly longer term nature to them, but that is gradually coming out, and that's broadly what's held the ex-SCA growth back. But we did say it would be up to 4% of the SCA turnover in over, I guess it would probably be the first couple of years. And then secondly, if we look at the growth, it hasn't really changed from our half year numbers, where the economies were overall in decline, we are still growing, and there we had seen the FMCG really grow quite a bit stronger than our average, and industrial was more or less at the GDP level. So you can see there's quite a strong outperformance in FMCG, and that's back to our segmentation about where we really focus in customers and categories, and this is what we'll outline a lot more at our investor day, because it has been so strong, and I think we really need to start outlining to people how it's been so strong, why, and how we see that going forward, and how we want to continue to strengthen our position in that market. And for the last quarter, those volumes have been pretty much the same. FMCG very strong, and industrial at or around GDP level.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
And so that's great. Well, look, can I just say to everybody, thank you very much for your time this morning. I do appreciate it. I know it's been and as a final few words, the economic environment in Europe remains challenging. The outlook for paper, I think, will remain pretty much as it has. It's going to be tough, but our business model remains resilient, and DS Smith is on track to deliver substantial year-on-year growth as the board considers the rest of the year with confidence. Thank you very much for your time, gentlemen.
Thank you for joining today's conference call. You may now replace your handsets.